And a very happy day to you. Middle of June already. My goodness, time flies when you're having fun. Well, it's 2020. Hasn't really been a fun year, but there's certainly been stuff to talk about. Adam Lepp here with a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, on the phone with me. We have so much stuff to talk about. No reason to have a long preamble because I'm sure I'll be going off into tangents anyway. Ron, how are you today in this fine middle of June day in your neck of the woods there in the sunshine state of Florida?
I'm doing very well. It's very hot here, though. Oh, my God, is it hot. It's hard to even go out for a walk now because it's 90 degrees early in the day.
Well, that's okay. It beats a blizzard, I guess. But
yes, I guess.
Weather's always
until the hurricane comes. If the hurricane scares me, that worries me more than anything else.
Yeah, but you are very well prepared for hurricanes. You have your hurricane shutters. You have your neighbors who help you put them on. And you've always made it through a hurricane with very little issues whatsoever.
96. They've always worked. Yep.
Anyway, want to let people know, sometimes we do this show live. Sometimes we tape it. We are taping it on June 14th and actually kind of doing that on purpose because there's really more going on for June 14th than there is June 15th. You know, my birthday being 2 weeks from the original air date of the show, and we do repeat the show throughout the week, of course, because it's so good. Memorial Day, come and gone. You know, July 4th, creeping up on us. But, you know, June 14th is Flag Day. You know, we're patriotic Americans. We like to fly our flag in Old Glory, greatest flag in the world. Always has been, always will be. But also, I think we're gonna wish someone a happy birthday. First, someone that you probably know whom we're referring to. The second person is an entertainment industry lady, and she is a lady in all aspects of the word. Personal favorite actress of mine, and she's been on with Scott a few times. We'll get to her second, but first, we will not do ladies first. Maybe we'll just save the best for last. Maybe that's a better way to say it. We'll do the first birthday, the one that you're all familiar with. Number 74 today, Ron, to our current occupant of the Oval Office, the Oval Office bunker. Here, there's also like 2 trillion miles of fence now surrounding the White House.
Yeah.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and that, of course, would be Mr. Donald J. Trump. Now, I mentioned I was going to sing happy birthday to Donald, but you weren't going to join me, which I guess that's okay. Freedom of speech. So, one last chance, Ron, if you want to join me in singing happy birthday to Donald.
No.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm going to sing by myself. Also want to mention, and we'll get into this also in the show, my vocal cords have been getting a lot of practice because I've gone to karaoke in Central Ohio twice since the last show. We'll discuss that among other things that I've done, which are indications of things kind of getting back to normal.
I ask you, when you're doing karaoke, are you wearing a face mask or you're not?
Well, let me ask you another question, Ron. The answer would be the same. Is Karen Trump pretty? What's your answer to that question?
Karen Trump?
Oh, I'm sorry, Karen Pence. There is no Karen Trump. Maybe
Karen
there was a Karen Pence. Maybe there was a Karen Trump. No, Karen Pence, I mean. See, we do this live, so it's okay if you make a mistake, as long as it's funny. And
I don't think Melania Trump is actually very attractive. I know you do. I don't think she is. I don't find her attractive. She also has had a lot of plastic surgery, we're learning, and I'm not surprised by that at all.
Did you see the photo of Cher at age 73 with her mother, age 93? Her mother looks like she's in her 40s, so talk about plastic surgery. But you know what? It looks good on them, so who cares? And Cher, she's a natural beauty anyway. She's been beautiful since she was in her teens, and really, I think she just gets better with age. But anyway.
But she also has talent. That's the difference.
A multi-talented person who can do anything. She's funny. She's a wonderful actress. She's a great political activist. Someone who doesn't judge people by their demographic. I think we need a little more of that in our society. An outstanding singer who's been singing, making hits since the 60s, and a great concert performer. And also a very rich lady. Like I said, I'm a little jealous also. But that's how it is sometimes. Anyway, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Donald. Happy birthday to you. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
You really want an answer?
Yeah, I'd love to hear an answer. What do you think of my happy birthday greeting?
I would hope you do a better karaoke at the bar than you just did, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you know, I have the equipment tuned more for voice, and I don't have any music, but, you know, I wanted to sing Donald a happy birthday, so I did it, and that's how it goes sometimes. So, Donald, hopefully you're having a nice birthday, age 74, and let's hear for 74 more. Not necessarily.
I must say, though, there's rumors that his health is not good because he couldn't seem to hold a glass of water at West Point, and he had trouble going up and down the ramp, and people are wondering if he's got a serious health issue. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
some people are wondering if he does.
That doctor, I have my doubts about. I'm not sure that he was properly diagnosing Donald, but I hope Donald's okay. You know, we think of him as someone who doesn't seem to have a very healthy lifestyle. He's obviously overweight, not grossly obese, but he could lose 50 pounds or more. And President of the United States, that's a very stressful job. We talked about how Jimmy Carter, although, again, he's still healthy today, he can push it 100, but in office,
8 months, yeah.
Right, he looked like he was, you know, 35 to 40 when he entered office, and 4 years later, you know, granted a very tough presidency, but 4 years later he looked like he was 60 or 65. And Donald, I don't really think
he still looks 65 because he's out of office for 40 years now.
I don't think Donald really looks older in the face. He just still looks out of shape. I mean, granted, most men in that age are out of shape, and it's a shame because there's no reason to be. But yeah, I think Donald should eat less cheeseburgers and other high cholesterol, low nutrition foods, and maybe have more fruit salads, have low-cal, low-carb versions of his favorite delicacies, and probably should, I mean, golfing is fine as long as you're not on the golf cart all the time, but maybe he should go to the gym like I do and play some basketball or handball or something else that gets the muscles and tendons flowing.
He does, though. We know that.
But, yeah, I wouldn't expect. Anyway, Donald, here's the 74 more years, not as president, not a 74 more years as president, but 74 more years of life. Even though
that would be 148, and nobody's done that except Methuselah.
As we've talked about, Ron, Donald thinks he can be president for life, and well, maybe he can be, but I guess we'll find out in November if he's going to have four more years. So anyway, the other person whose birthday we're going to celebrate is the wonderful actress Marla Gibbs, Florence.
Oh,
the,
okay.
The delightfully sassy maid from the Jeffersons, Mary, protagonist character in 227. Wonderful actress. She can sing, and she is funny, with a capital F, and she has been on with Scott many times. She's been very gracious, and she's lost
89 today.
Yep, 15 years older. She's lost nothing, and she is still beautiful. Always thought Florence was pretty. They didn't make her
look slim.
yeah, she's in very good shape. I mean, she really has lost nothing, and she still looks just like Cher. She looks really good. They never really made her to be an attractive type character in the Jeffersons. I mean, she was the maid, but on occasion she would get spiffed up, and she'd look really good. There were a lot of
one thing I noticed: she was married to Jordan Gibbs, had three children, but Jordan Gibbs died in 1973, and she's never remarried, I guess. So, you know, he died at a young age. I wonder if she caused it.
Only
18 years of marriage, my gosh.
She lives happily in California. Again, always a gracious guest with Scott. Her interviews are in the celebrity interview section of the Scott Spears section of our well-known website. Of course, that website is curated by yours truly. And we have some of Marla Gibbs's musical numbers. Great lady. We wish her a happy birthday and 89 more years of fabulousness, because that's what she brings. So,
and I see her daughter Angela, who's 66, is actually an actress. Has been in a number of movies.
Yeah,
a daughter,
a talented family. And,
yeah.
So we celebrate multiple birthdays today on this.
And also her sister Susie Garrett, born in 1929, died in 2002. So she has an acting family there. A daughter.
I probably mentioned her co-star. Her husband on 227 is Hal Williams, who is a native of Columbus. He's in his 80s and still going strong. I don't think Scott's ever talked to him, but who knows? When did I say that Scott has not talked to somebody? Sure enough, he does. So maybe he will talk to one of the co-stars of 227 at some time.
I'm looking up Hal Williams. Yeah, he's 81 now. Yep.
But my favorite role of his was Officer Smith, or Smitty, on Sanford and Son. He was hilarious as that policeman on Sanford and Son, and that's the role that I kind of associate him with. And I just love to watch that show. Back, Ron, when sitcoms didn't have to have political correctness stuck in their face, and we'll talk about that. You know how much I dislike political correctness in general, but the last couple of weeks, it's really gotten out of hand. And I think you'd agree with me on this one, but it's a shame.
The question is, are we going to change the name of the capital city of Ohio?
If we don't run out of time, and I'm sure we will, because I always go off on a tangent, we'll talk about that. And you can imagine what I think about that. But it's a shame, Ron. Well, you and I both know the politically incorrect series of the 70s, which portrayed realistic society, but also portrayed people that weren't perfect, but they just loved each other. And the two that come to mind, again, All in the Family, and a whole bunch of derivatives of All in the Family, including a short-lived show where Marla Gibbs was the star called Checking In. It was a spinoff of The Jeffersons, which was a spinoff. It didn't last, though, despite two actresses that I'm big fans of, not just Marla Gibbs, but Liz Torres, who played the beloved Teresa on a few episodes of All in the Family. And of course, Sanford and Son. Fred Sanford, Archie Bunker were not perfect, but they were people with hearts of gold. And I think we need more of that and less of this political correctness, which really isn't very correct. But we'll try to get to that.
What would Archie Bunker, the character, say today?
it would certainly be intriguing. I posted on my Facebook an Archie Bunker for President cartoon that was out in the 70s, and I suggested Sammy Davis Jr. for VP because Sammy and Archie were friends. Of course, it's a fantasy. They're both deceased. May they both rest in peace. But Sammy Davis Jr., I mean, you talk about like Cher. You talk about someone who had talents in every possible way. There's nothing that guy couldn't do, and he was hilarious. The two shows of All in the Family and Archie Bunker's Place with Sammy Davis Jr., two of the best sitcom episodes ever, and they'll never be replaced. And we need more Sammy Davises in the world, yes, and more Mr. Rogers, and even more Fred Sanfords, because Red Fox was hilarious. And his character, again, although not perfect, he really had a heart of gold underneath that gruff exterior. So there's my...
The young people today don't even know who these people are. You realize that.
And it's a shame, because if they would watch those older shows, they'd realize they were actually funny, because I watch about 5 minutes of any current TV show before saying, how could people possibly watch it? How could they possibly pay those so-called actors and actresses with no talent? The only show that I watch that's current, and it doesn't really count because it had origins a generation and a half ago, is, of course, The Conners. Which is, I think it's okay after Roseanne was killed off the show, but it's missing something, but it's still a good show. I love John Goodman, a wonderful actor. Someone who shows you don't have to be good looking or be in shape in order to be a successful actor. You know, he's a big guy. Yes. He's lovable in that kind of a way. And such a talented actor, it doesn't matter. You go beyond what he looks like, and you realize he's a regular guy. And that's something that you can laugh at when you kind of see a bit of yourself in him. And the younger...
Yeah, the comedies of the 70s were really special when I look back. You know, they were different than the 60s.
No question at all. And I will always defend someone like Archie Bunker, saying he is not perfect, I understand that, but he had a heart of gold, and he had a commitment to his family. The guilt that he had when he almost cheated on Edith was just classic. We just need more of that. And we can overlook some of his imperfections and understand, too, a lot of it was from just not being in enough of society to see that people can be different. Because once he saw that, he did change quite a bit. I know it's just a character, but I think we need to consider that when analyzing these people as the political correctness.
I must say, Carol kind of always impressed me that for a while I really thought the actual actor was like him, but he isn't. He wasn't. And that's what was so good. He was so good at portraying something he wasn't.
Such a gifted actor, you would never know. And I guess that was a problem with Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner in person and on the TV show were pretty similar. The main difference was on the TV show he wore a toupee because he was prematurely bald. But in person and on the show, he was kind of similar. Which I guess made the character a little less interesting. But on that show, it's Archie who was the hero, and Mike who was the person that you really didn't like. So kind of a interesting twist. That's what made the show so wonderful. But we'll get to
and
some.
Rob Reiner is now 73. Can you believe this?
Yeah. and his father Carl Reiner, a talented family. And yeah, great actor and director. Definitely a gift to the great world of show business. We'll get to some of these things that I'm already alluding to, Ron, but I don't want to take up too much time in going
Paul
off
Ryan
on a
is 98
tangent.
As of March 20th. Can you believe that? I hope he makes it to 100. Wow.
I think Carl Reiner and Norman Lear, similar ages, both very gifted members of the show business community. Now, Ron Feinman has been on with us many, many times, with Scott a few dozen times, with me 172 times, I believe, or something like that.
He, not quite, but close. Norman Lear, by the way, is 97. He'll be 98 in July. Wow.
He is the author of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, where it's called An Educated View from the Left. And sometimes he takes a rather liberal stand, and sometimes it's more non-political. He just talks about presidential history or points to ponder. Certainly on this blog, he has been known to, let's say, blast the birthday boy, Donald J. Trump. But even on occasion, he sort of agrees with Donald or understands it's not really a Donald issue. But on a few times, he does say things like Donald Trump, worst president ever, most corrupt president, etc. But I do invite you to read the blog. Throw rotten eggs at the screen if you don't agree. Email Ron, message him on Facebook or Twitter, and it's...
And also on historynewsnetwork.org under my name, Ronald L. Feinman, under blogs on the left.
Yes. It's also free speech, which has just made our country great, and we celebrate that on Flag Day and upcoming July 4th. So anyway, Ron, I mentioned last week that I've made some adjustments in how I consider the coronavirus issue from a few weeks ago. I no longer call it a pandemic because I think a pandemic is too strong. You could almost take any contagious disease or condition and call it a pandemic. It's kind of a gray area, and I think things have changed a lot since the late 19-teens when we had the Spanish flu pandemic. Let's look at the average lifespan. You and I would both be past the average lifespan of men back in the 19-teens. That kind of tells you something. Medical science has advanced the ability to get medical results, sanitation in hospitals, many, many things. And I don't think it's logical to compare what happened over 100 years ago to what is happening now. My opinion about coronavirus, which is evolving, and that's fine because things seem to change every day. I've been out and about, as I make no secrets of, except for people who have literally not left the house. And I would say since December, because it's been around since late last year. The 19 comes from 2019, as you may know. You've probably been exposed to it. It's a virus. It's in the air. It's very contagious. But if you are a person of not even great health, just decent health, and you're under about 70, and I would say under 80 if you're in very good health, because I want to include Ron, as he's very healthy, but he's under 80, but not 70, then... Although you may catch it, and it may cause serious symptoms, the likelihood is that it won't, from my understanding, and I have know enough about a lot of these things that I think I can be a quasi-expert of sorts. And if you do have the symptoms, it'll likely be similar to a cold, which is fairly common here in the United States with all the allergens and other things going around that are less than healthy for you. There are plenty of exceptions. Again, there are 30-year-old people that go to the gym every day, are in perfect health, have a blood pressure of 110 over 70, and other health factors that are outstanding, who have gotten the virus and have become very ill, but not very many. Honestly, I would think that's something you can count on one hand, at least here in Ohio. I don't know the exact number, but I know it's very, very low. 70% of the deaths from corona in Ohio have been in nursing homes. And again, that's in Ohio. Other states are a little bit different. And as I've said, and I think Ron agrees with me, I'm more concerned about my mortality driving 70 miles an hour down the freeway. And here in Ohio, Ron, they're always doing construction, especially this time of the year. And if it's 1 or 2 in the morning, because, you know, I've been to karaoke a few times, and that's kind of when you go home from karaoke, half the people on the road are probably drunk. And so I'm sharing the road with them. They're probably drunk and or texting and driving, but I make it because I'm a safe driver. I don't drive drunk, and I don't text and drive.
And you're also lucky.
Yes, luck is part of it. And luck is luck is one thing you have to take into account. Every day that I wake up, you know, I said I lost my father back in the fall. And, you know, 79, to me, that isn't that old, in my opinion.
No, it's not.
But every day you wake up is a gift. Every day, if you're a religious person, you thank God. I'm not a very religious person, so I just kind of have a general thank you. Thanks to the world that I'm around. I'm healthy. I can go to work because I like working. I can make coffee. I can tell jokes. I can listen to the radio. And I'm, you know, and I say, and I'm still cute, which is, I guess, a little bit of a bonus. So every day is a gift. And yes, there is luck. And that's kind of how it is. But as I see it, we've been exposed. And by being exposed, you do develop this herd immunity, which has been a bit of a hot topic. But that's how I see it. And wearing a mask, well, that's not going to make a difference because I feel people are already being exposed. And also people seem to think that a mask is some holy grail that will stop you from catching anything. When the truth is, unless you're wearing an N95, you're stopping 30 to 50% of outgoing transmission, not stopping a lot of incoming transmission. And you're getting a false sense of security. For example, people might think, well, I'm wearing a seatbelt, so if I get in a car accident, I'll be okay. Well, if it's a 15-mile-an-hour fender bender, yes, it's unlikely to cause anything more than a minor injury, and the seatbelt will certainly help. But if you're driving 70 miles an hour down the freeway, I don't say I know enough about this topic to say, but you need a lot more than a seatbelt and an airbag. Let's put it that way. And you should never drive less safely because you think that having all this protection in a modern car, and granted, modern cars are very safe, but they still need to be driven carefully. And I feel that people have this false sense of security. You walk around with a mask and, well, it's okay. You know, you can sneeze. You can go ahead and not worry about it. The guy next to you in line is sick. Well, it isn't quite the case. And even if you wear an N95 with, if properly fitted, 95% 95% ability to stop incoming and outgoing, you still have to be careful because 5% is still a lot in some ways. Also, Ron, as we would agree, people tend to think that coronavirus is the only illness that's going around right now. People still don't get a cold or get the flu or get pneumonia. They don't need to get their blood pressure checked or blood sugar, especially if you're a diabetic or borderline diabetic. Don't need to keep their weight at a good level because it's like all people care about is coronavirus. And before they started opening up things in Ohio, and I think most other states were the same way, elective medical procedures were not permitted. Okay, that's fine if you can't get a facelift for a couple months. That's one thing. But if you can't get a procedure that can save your life because they're going to work on your heart or work on another body part that could cause an early death if they don't perform the surgery, it could end up killing people.
Yeah.
We get to the fact that the cure is it worse than the disease. Well, in this case, it is. It's much worse. And that further adds to this dangerous equation that I think has been precipitated, or whatever the word would be. And that's something I've said before, but I've kind of changed my perspective in that instead of thinking, well, exposure isn't as likely, I now think it's quite likely, but also just because I've been out and about. And like with any virus, if you're in good health, you may get it. And if you are healthy, again, there's a lot of luck involved, but it's likely not to be serious. However, with something as catchy as this, you honestly would have to live in a cave, underground with the door shut and no visitors or contact with the outside world of any kind. And of course, a lot of air filtration and purification because you wouldn't have any air circulation. Then you may not be exposed. But I guess the idea, you go out with a mask and you only go to Walmart or other essential businesses, there's still going to be exposure as I see it. And also, thankfully, it doesn't seem at this point that this virus, and it's a controversial statement, but this virus in most cases is going to have serious symptoms with most people. There has been, I think the statistic is 90% plus a comorbidity factor when there's been a death. And in Ohio, as of this taping, there are about 2,500 deaths from the virus. So we look at the comorbidity. We're talking about 200 or 300 people out of a state with many millions of people. Yes, one death is too many. I'm by any means downplaying that. But we have to look at what the chances are and what the statistics are. And I don't want to trivialize anything, but take a look at it versus traffic accidents. How about overdoses? How about people who are cooped up in the house, Ron, because they couldn't go to their rehab? They couldn't see their counselor, and they relapse, and they suffer circumstances, possibly death, due to a drug abuse. You've probably read about all the drug abuse cases that have taken place, and there seems to be
increased suicide.
Yeah, and that also, and domestic abuse, and I would say there's more of that than there have been deaths from corona if there's not been a comorbidity factor. So those are the kind of things we need to look at, and that's my own perspective. Again, I've said this pretty much every show, but I feel strongly about it, and I do adjust my opinion, so that's what it is. And if you don't agree with me, you know my email address, adam@wwgh1071.com. Feel free to communicate with me. But you do get what I'm saying, Ron, is that you can't lock yourself up and have no contact with the outside world. It is a virus. People are being exposed in some fashion. And you need to kind of...
Yeah, let me just point out, though, we've lost 115,000 people. No disease since the First World War Spanish flu has killed that many in such a short time. So that's another factor to think about.
Right.
And also, it's two Vietnam Wars that took 12 years in less than 4 months in loss of life.
But a couple things to look at. There has been comorbidity in most of those cases. I don't know if it's 90% like in Ohio. I don't have the statistics. And also one thing, which, you know, I think a lot of people have suspected, I believe that the medical community does get a compensation of some kind, not necessarily monetary, if the cause of death is listed as COVID. That may be a controversial statement, but that's how I feel. In many cases, there are multiple factors, and granted, COVID may have accelerated the death or the diagnosis of a terminal condition. But I do believe that there is something going on here with the listed cause of death, and that's kind of that will be an issue anytime you have to a medical professional has to write down exactly why somebody passed. I've mentioned my father's death was listed as high blood pressure. That's incorrect. Again, I don't claim to have an MD from Harvard or an MD from anywhere, but his cause of death was untreated sleep apnea. That's my opinion, which I will take to the bank. And I know that's not a very good analogy, and I'm just generalizing, and I don't mean it to come across that way. But I'm not convinced that in all these cases, COVID really is the main cause of death. It might have been a contributing factor. But again, there are cases where a very healthy person, 30 or 40 years old, does contract the virus, and it does have some serious symptoms and possibly cause death. I don't want to downplay that at all, but that is not common. And I would say compare it to something like deaths from a traffic accident. And no, we're not going to close down the highways. And I'm not going to not drive my car and not risk crashing into somebody because I'm going to live my life. So that's the argument related to, well, should I wear a mask? Should I not go out in public? Well, to me, that's just like saying I'm going to drive my car because I want to, and I do it safely, and that's my what I owe society and what I owe as a decent human being, as far as I see it. But do you agree with me, Ron, or maybe not to the extent that I do, that sometimes these medical professionals may not be putting the correct cause of death, and that although COVID may be a contributing factor, it isn't the primary factor? Do you really believe that we have over a tenth of a million deaths where the absolute primary cause is COVID?
The thing is, I don't say the doctors are always right, but I would more likely listen to science and medicine than to speculation. But I can't really say. I don't know. But it is an alarming number, 115,000. It's basically 1,000 a day are dying most days. And in Florida, it's increasing the number of cases and deaths. So it is alarming. That's all I can say.
So you would
I don't really know.
You wouldn't totally discount what I'm saying, and I'm sure you've seen this. You've seen how doctors are paid to put down COVID as a diagnosis. I wouldn't doubt that one bit. I don't know specifically. I'm not claiming to be an expert. I'm not Donald Trump, the birthday boy.
It could be. I wouldn't deny that.
Yeah.
Just like they promote certain medications because they get paid or offered benefits by different by different medical industry people. Yeah, it's true.
So we've listed this as a partial agreement and certainly a suspicion, but we do agree. And you're someone who had an operation on a major organ system that saved your life, and now you're better than ever, you know, 15 years later. You would certainly agree that these elective surgeries, and what's an elective surgery? That's a relative statement. People having them delayed and now having to wait longer than normal, that also is going to cause morbidity. Arguably, as much morbidity or more than COVID has caused. And that and that's really a shame that we are designating so much to one virus and taking precautions that I think are a little more than would be logical. Again, one death is too many. We have to take a look at the entire picture. And it, the political analysis of this, the way it's being handled by the media, just people talking around the dinner table, it's something else. And, you know, in our age of social media and immediate gratification of information, it's like nothing else we've ever seen, put it mildly. So, Ron, since we talked last time, I've been to two Asian buffets. As you know, I have a propensity and enjoyment of that kind of cuisine. I've been to the gym so many times I've lost track, and I've been to karaoke two times, and I'm planning on going a little bit more. Interestingly, Ron, I called four of the Chinese buffets in Columbus that I frequent. One says carry-out only. One I went to last week, you may have seen the photo online, and they have the self-serve buffet. They do have gloves available at the buffet, but no one was using them, myself included. So, like, nothing ever changed. One of them, they told me it was open, but they lied. I went there with a friend, and they said it was carry-out or dine-in only, or menu only, so I left. And the other one is a buffet, but the ladies serve you behind a partition. They've built this plexiglass partition, and they tell them what you want, and they put the food under a little cubbyhole, which was kind of interesting. Golden Corral is doing the same thing. So I'm not really sure exactly what the laws in Ohio say you have to do, but hopefully the buffet that I went to a few days ago is still doing what they were doing, because I may be eating there this week. It's quite tasty, and I believe Asian food is very healthy and rather inexpensive considering how good it is. And I've been to karaoke a couple times. And here are the karaoke rules, Ron. You're not allowed to stand when you sing. No duets. Masks not required. Nobody that I watched sing a song was wearing a mask. There were people that kind of had them like hanging from their ear or on their table. But it was mostly because if you take an Uber or Lyft, smart people that don't drink and drive, you do have to wear one when you use an Uber or Lyft. I don't think it actually has to be enforced, but the driver is allowed to reject you if you're not donning one. And they do, what they have is like two or three microphones, so they sanitize a microphone between singers. So you grab a new microphone, and then while you're singing, they sanitize it. They have these microphone covers you can use. Nobody, I don't think, was using one, but they are available if needed. There is one karaoke company, Ron, that has posted very prominently on their Facebook page that a mask is required when singing. They have cited dozens of these articles, which I call mostly junk science, saying that masks help, and also indicating that they have best practices for how you sing with a mask, blah, 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 to which I told them, let me know when you've relaxed that stupid rule, because you don't wear a mask when singing. I don't really care what your best practices are. And I told them, you're going to lose me and a bunch of other people, and it's already pretty tenuous, and they didn't really seem to care. So when they stop enforcing that dumb rule, and it is dumb, and I'm not going to make any bones about it or sugarcoat anything, let me know, because I do like their hosts and like their karaoke shows. I think it will be relaxed pretty quickly, because people aren't going to go. And if they do, they're going to start drinking, and they're going to not follow the rule. The karaoke that I went to, Ron, where they had these relaxed rules, again, no mask required, but sit down, no duets, etc. People were standing up to sing about half an hour into the show, probably because they were drinking. The host didn't care, but that's just how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I want to mention, though, how about all the people who report on the cable and wear masks when they're doing reporting on the news? I'm talking about, like, in the field.
Yeah, well, that
could be understood.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, isn't it? Also interesting how when our Governor DeWine and other governors give news conferences, their hair always seems to be look like it was freshly cut. So we kind of wonder exactly how that was done, too. A lot of hypocrisy. And Talking about hypocrisy, we have Dr. Amy Acton, who I call Dr. Amy Quackton, and I make no apology for saying that. It's also funny. As you may have heard, Ron, she resigned a few days ago. I think she was kind of pressured into resigning. I don't think it was a voluntary resignation. She has an advisory position now with Mike DeWine's administration, but she's no longer the head of the Ohio Health Department, or exactly what her title was. I don't really know, because, as you can very well imagine, not a fan of hers, as I feel that she overdramatized, she jeopardized the health of small businesses, but even some larger businesses and nonprofit organizations, without thinking of things in a logical fashion. And now, when she realized that she didn't really handle this very well, she's trying to cover her tracks. And to which I can say, good riddance, Dr. Amy Quackton. And a lot of people, you know, they may have originally liked her, and they kind of changed their mind when they saw that maybe she wasn't doing the wonderful job they thought. I've thought that since the minute I heard her talk. She hasn't impressed me from day one. So one thing about me, Ron, I may be a bit outspoken or controversial or a loudmouth or a wise guy 24/7. At least I'm consistent. My opinion really hasn't changed, and a big smile entered my face when I read about that. And I feel that our governor, he's finding a way to
apologize. But he named Amy. You like Amy Klobuchar, don't you?
Yeah, well, not really going to matter, because she's not going to be vice president. But, well, not everything about her, but more good than bad, for sure. And I think she'd be a good VP. But obviously, with the current state of Minnesota, I don't think she's going to be anything. She's not going to be anywhere near the vice president's mansion anytime soon. But I think Governor DeWine, Ron, as you probably would agree, is backtracking a bit from his original viewpoints, and he understands that you need to be logical, and you need to have cautious optimism, and you need not to alarm people and incite panic. For example, one news conference was saying Ohioans required to wear masks when you go outside or go to a business. That was retracted very shortly after, when he realized that was ridiculous, not to mention unenforceable and unconstitutional. And you and I both know that Dr. Quackton didn't resign willingly. They had a little talk, and he pretty much told her that here's the door, and I'll go ahead as a consolation prize, give you an advisory position, but you're no longer Queen Amy. And thank goodness for that. Something else, Ron, that DeWine is doing, which I'm taking as an apology to the bar business, which he almost put out of business, is their proposed legislature, but I'm sure DeWine is certainly behind this, that they're proposing allowing bars, if they pay, I believe, a $100 permit, which is minimal, to be open until 4 a.m. instead of 2:30 a.m., which is the current closing time in Ohio. They would also allow liquor sales on Sunday without a special vote, whereas people in the precinct don't have to vote for Sunday sales. It would be automatic. Definitely in favor of that. An extra hour and a half. That's the closing time in Chicago and some other areas. I guess there was also a possible 24-hour liquor sales at stores instead of being closed from 2:30 to 5:30 or 1 to 5:30 based upon your license. So a liberalizing, or maybe it's liberalization, of alcohol laws in Ohio, which I think is a great way to apologize for almost decimating a business. And I take my hat off to Governor DeWine. There are things that I don't agree with him on one bit. But, Ron, he is showing that as a professional politician, he knows the system. We've talked about that. He is the opposite of Trump. They may have some similar viewpoints, but in DeWine's case, he sees what the game of politics is like, what people want, that he, although may not always be popular, may not always agree with someone like myself. He loves his state and loves his constituents and loves small business. Ohio is a great state for small business. And he understands that there are ways to apologize and ways to nurture. And I really take my hat off to him for that. And I indicated on Facebook, I will remember that at election time. If it's a moderate Democrat like Cordray, I would probably vote for him. But if it's what I would call a wacko Democrat, like Strickland, for example, I would definitely vote for DeWine. I would hold my nose and understanding how he feels about pro-choice and some other things that I don't agree with him on. But I'll take a look at the way he handled this, and understand that I think he did a pretty good job. Almost, Ron, the way you thought about Jeb Bush, where you weren't a big fan of his, but you felt that he's done a good job with hurricanes, and that's a very important job.
On that, yeah.
Very important job.
I would have preferred him over Trump, or Kasich would have been the best choice, as I've said in 2016.
Yeah, I'd like to see a moderate Republican with political experience in the White House, but that apparently isn't going to happen.
That's interesting about Kasich. If Kasich was still the governor, would he have done exactly what Mike DeWine did? That's an interesting speculation.
Cordray has pretty much said he doesn't want to comment on it. Kasich, I don't think Kasich would have listened to Dr. Quackton as quickly as DeWine would have. I think Kasich is more intelligent. DeWine, I'm not saying he's not intelligent, but he's not as innovative or crafty as certainly Kasich or Cordray. But I think he's kind of backtracked and realized, well, maybe there are just better ways to handle this. And I give him credit for that. It's very difficult. I mean, he was thrown this crisis. It was thrown at him like a 200-mile-an-hour fastball. And he didn't do too well initially. Yeah, and he's improved. He doesn't have that charisma, that immediate likability that Cordray does, but really, Kasich doesn't really either. So it's a tough call, but I do think he has done better, and he has gained the respect of people like myself. And I don't want to be hypocritical. I say things like that I like things about Mike Pence, but I don't like his opinion on abortion and other issues too. And kind of the same thing with DeWine. They're both very socially conservative, but there are things in both cases about both of those guys that I have found appealing. It's a case of, do I overlook those things that I'm repulsed by and look at the good things, or maybe try to find a candidate who's more in line with my beliefs, or what you usually do when you go to the poll, find the lesser of two evils, and that may be the case in November. So, as not unexpected, Ron, we've come to the conclusion of our program and discussed 1 out of 10 things we wanted to, but that's okay. I've talked a lot, and you've listened. And any comments over the things that I've talked about today, about the resignation of Dr. Quackton, as I call her, about the statistics, about a false sense of security, etc.? Any comments on some of my opinions?
I still would more support Amy Acton, basically. Well, I don't know. I still tend to think that Ohio is going to see an increase in cases now, as many states are. Right now they haven't, but I really worry that there's going to be an increased number of cases. But we'll see.
Not all geniuses have to see
what happens.
It's also people that have been tested. They now have, like, I think in Columbus, 6 public testing places. It's free. You just drive up and they'll swab you and test you. And I'm actually considering doing that, so I'll let you know what my results are. And, have you been exposed? I think like anybody, if you're out and about, you've been exposed, but what has been the effect on you? Do you get the antibodies? Do the antibodies work? They really don't know. So are we going to go ahead and hide inside of a shell and decimate the economy, or are we going to kind of have a cautious, optimistic approach? And, the joke, it's not really a joke, but it sort of is, that I've said, did anybody ever wash their hands or use hand sanitizer before this? And apparently, from what you seem to see in the media, I guess nobody did. But I always have. I've been more vigilant.
I have too.
Yeah,
people do not. You're right.
I've been more vigilant, but that's a good thing. So we'll just have to see. As I've said, every day you wake up and you're healthy, and you're happy and able to work, it's a gift, and I'm thankful every day that happens. So, Dr. Ron Feinman, thank you again for being with me. This is probably the show of all the shows where you've talked the least. I have just rambled and rambled and rambled.
But yes, I got very little in today.
But I think you see a lot of what I'm saying, and that you agree with part of it. You may not have the same opinion of Dr. Quackton that I do, but at least you giggle a bit at the name that I've given her. Because you know me, the punster and person who likes to have fun with the English language. We invite people to visit Ron's blog at theprogressiveprofessor.com to become a fan of his Facebook pages, one about his book Assassinations and the U.S. Presidency, and another one called The Progressive Professor, and follow him on Twitter under Politist, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T. Any parting words, Ron, before we say goodbye on this occasion of Donald Trump's birthday?
Well, I hope that I hope that we see some stability in the way things are going in the country with all the troubles with, you know, with another killing by a police officer of the black man in Atlanta, which is causing a new uproar. So I am concerned about that, and I think it's something we need to talk about in future weeks.
Yeah, well, I agree. Let's all try to get along. That's a pipe dream, but I'm trying. Believe me, we need more Mr. Rogers, but maybe we'll. We'll get some
God,
of that.
I wish Mr. Rogers could run for president. But I don't know if he would win. That's the only thing. I don't know if he would.
But thanks again, Ron, for being with us here on The Talking Place.
Thank you.
On the show we call A Finer Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor. Have a great rest of your day. Adam at WWGH1071.com.